weeknights from 6
on 2FM.
Thanks to Lottie and David. It's Tuesday the 11th of June and you're listening to Game On. Coming up today, it's only days to kick off, so stay tuned for our big Euro 2024 preview with Mark Langdon, Keith Tracy and Alan Cawley. Plus, we'll look ahead to Ireland's friendly in Portugal tonight.
And we'll be live to Rome to speak to David Gillick after another 24 hours to remember for Irish athletics. Plus in golf, Rory McIlroy is ready for his US Open charge, while Padraig Harrington enters the World Golf Hall of Fame.
If you'd like to get in touch, you can text us on 51552 or on X at GameOn2FM, or you can WhatsApp us on 087 187 9200.
Game On on 2FM.
Welcome along. Time for the Euros. Everyone excited? Alan Cawley, Keith Tracy in studio.
Evening Marie, evening Ruby. I'm very excited, yeah. I love a major tournament.
I know, nothing else to do. Just sit around, watch football all day.
The major tournaments
element.
Are brilliant, yeah.
Couple of games a day suit Alan Cawley down to the ground, doesn't it?
Well, I'm doing it all year round, so it's even better when I can do it for...
You have it. I'd say you have the technique perfected now, Al.
Well, for the major tournaments, I have to say I do love it, yeah. Gets me into a bit of trouble, but I'm kind of... They've gone past giving out to me now at this stage. I'm just so used to it.
Keith...
So, I have a free run. My wife will be in school most mornings, so I'll get the first game, maybe the second game in. And yeah, I've a little room down the back of the house, the little man cave I can go and go and get me head into and watch them all. So I'm delighted, but I know we'll get into it in a little while, but I'm still fearful that the English are going to do very, very well here. I know they'll meet France in the semi-final, so hopefully that will be their undoing, but still fearful that they'll do very, very well.
Yeah, I don't think you're on your own with that one. We'll get into it in just a moment, but a word up, Al, now on the Ireland under-21s draw with England just this afternoon.
Yeah, 2-2, late penalty. Oco Flexi actually missed that and scored the rebound, but Joe Hodge just scored, with Joe Hodge, who captained the team today, promising young player. Everybody's kind of expecting that he may be the next one to break through from the 21s, but it just keeps the momentum going, because obviously these camps, I find, and no more than the senior teams as well, this time of year, players after doing a long season, I think the last thing they want to be doing now is to be obviously going off for a 10-day camp or a 2-week camp. It's different if you're preparing for the Euros, but for the likes of our lads, I'd say they just want to get the season over and done with now and enjoy their summer break. Everybody needs a break, Marie, at some point, and then get back into it. But certainly from the under 21's perspective, it just keeps that momentum going. They've been going very well. They're still very much in the fight for obviously qualification as well. When the season restarts, the big games coming up in September. So good result.
Keith, we couldn't see it anywhere. We're just all following it.
Yeah, I was on the way here, but it's a brilliant result for the Irish team, and it's one of those. I think I only ever keep a loose eye on the underage stuff, but it seems like they're going in the right direction, and we've a couple of lads popping into the senior team, then popping back down, and that's where you want them to be, coming up, getting a bit of experience, but not being a mainstay in the senior team and popping back down. So everything bodes well. Looks like we're getting stronger at underage level.
There was nothing on that GAA goal today. You think they would have showed it, wouldn't you?
I checked that. I thought it was on the FEI YouTube channel.
They were trying to get the two games that Ireland had shown, but there was some issues. They didn't have the rights to them. So I think
the one earlier in the week
out.
Was that on? No,
they weren't able to show it.
Because I saw it advertised somewhere that it would be on.
They tried, I think, but just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Imagine the FEI would have the rights to their own games, wouldn't you?
Not when it's
I would have thought, and especially
away,
it's only a friendly game as well. Like,
there you are now. TV's big business.
Yeah, even their own, as you said, YouTube channel, but didn't work out. Anyway, speaking of big business, let's move on to the Euros. Mark Langdon is with us as well. Mark, you put together a fantastic Euro 24 preview in the Racing Post. I'd say that took a lot of work.
Not from me. I'm sort of manage the team, so
I'm
always the one that ends up with all the... I get all of the credit, but it's really that there's a lot of you're right. There's a lot of work that goes into it from
you sound like Gareth Southgate.
A lot of people, but I won't wear the three piece suit or the cardigans. But I think the Euros and sort of European football was a labour of love of mine anyway, so it works well. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the tournament. I think because. Like the last couple of World Cups have not been in sort of what you call great sort of football places, Qatar and Russia. Then you had the COVID hit Euros that was not, I think, the best anyway, because it was all around Europe and you didn't have one destination for fans. You've now got a Euros in a proper football country. You know, it's easy to get to, it's easy to get around, it's fairly cheap, you know, for people that can only do kind of day trips or sort of 2 day trips. So I think it's going to be, you know, a really sort of fantastic sort of proper tournament like we've maybe not had for a while.
I may as well tell everybody now, I'm going on my holidays there.
I know what you are.
So I'll get it out there now, going to...
I was at the last one in 2006.
Amazing, yeah.
In the World Cup in Germany, and like Mark said, it's a brilliant place for football. We were at Ivory Coast in Argentina, I think it was, in Hamburg, and unbelievable atmosphere. But in terms of the transport system, mm-hmm. getting round, all that, it's so well run.
I'm going to the two round of 16 games for Group E and Group F, so flying into Frankfurt, one game in Frankfurt, then train to Munich, and then flying out of Munich. So, as you said, Mark, it's so accessible. So that's Belgium's group and Portugal's group. So looking forward to that.
Very good.
So now we have Marie's summer holidays all sorted. Yep. Let's start with the soccer. Mark, you might as well start with you. You're English, you're in England. Have we to listen to footballs coming home now for the next month?
I think the kind of mood in the last couple of weeks has started to become one of nervousness. I think there was a real confidence a couple of months ago, and the injury to Harry Maguire, which is quite strange because Maguire was for so often kind of the, you know, he was having to put up with all kinds of criticism, but I think people are actually sort of looking around and are slightly nervous about who actually comes in to replace him, because for all the criticism, he's done well for England and is that physical threat that they maybe don't have. Luke Shaw, we're taking his fitness on trust, you know, barely played in the last few months. Big question marks over who sort of sits alongside Declan Rice in the midfield. The defeat to Iceland kind of didn't improve the confidence of the nation. And even someone like Jude Bellingham, who's had a fantastic season for Real Madrid, he did most of his best work, I would say, in the first kind of half of the season compared to the second half of the campaign. Now people are saying, well, when was the last time Foden had a good game for England? And, you know, so that this is pretty normal, I would say, for people to suddenly get nervous about this time. But I think England have got a good chance. I'm not sure I would rate them as the absolute favourites, but they're in a nice group. They've got some absolutely fantastic players. It's just whether the balance of the team is right, and that defence, when it comes up against a real top team, will they be able to cope? That would be my big question mark for them.
Al, I know you're a huge fan of Foden, so do you think then that it should be him and Bellingham centrally together? Is that the way you'd go with them?
It's interesting to see, I suppose, in terms of the dynamics of the team, because the dilemma for all us watching in is, will he go with the four? Well, he will go with four at the back, but will he go with two sitting players with a defensive kind of mind, or will he go with just one and play with the five attackers to try and get as many of the brilliant talent that he has in the team? And as you say, Foden, Bellingham, obviously two of the main ones. He'll definitely go Rice, we know that. It's whether he'll go someone alongside Rice like a Maynou or a Conor Gallagher, or will he go with Bellingham, as you say, and play the attack minded one. I think in maybe a couple of the group games he may do that, but if you come up against the likes of Spain, Italy, Germany, Portugal, France, I can't see him being as open as that and playing one of those inexperienced lads. And also, I don't think they're the best in the world at what to do as well in terms of that defensive axis, if you like, in front of the back four, and give them enough protection. So I'd be worried about England defensively. If Southgate is brave, and everybody's asking him to be brave, and it almost feels like it is his last tournament and he should just go out and have a go, I think they have a great chance because of the attacking players that they have. But funny enough, actually, the result last week against Iceland, I think, has helped him, because people were getting far too carried away with themselves.
They've settled now.
Yeah, and they've been brought down a notch, and it's only a friendly game. I wouldn't read too much into in terms of the result and losing, but just more so just that it dampens down expectations a little bit. So I think they have a great chance, but I'd be very, very worried about them defensively.
Keith, whatever the public or the press are looking for, does Gareth Southgate have it in himself to be attack-minded?
I'm not too sure, Ruby. I think if you ask Gareth Southgate, he will say that he played with two holding midfielders against Iceland, and they let Conor Gallagher off the leash a bit. He went and joined in the attack, and Iceland are a good solid team. They very rarely get turned over or take an absolute trouncing, but they play through the English press with absolute ease at times. And I know it's only a friendly, you can't read too much into it, though. You go and set up like that against a France, a Spain, a Portugal, a Germany, they will hurt you time and time again. And the most worrying thing for me is it wasn't a smash and grab from Iceland. They had better opportunities, they kept the ball well at times, and like I say, they looked really, really dangerous. And I would echo what Mark Landon is saying. I think Shaw hasn't played since February. Kieran Trippier will probably end up playing left back, and for me, you need a natural left footer out there. If Saka, Foden, whoever it's going to be on that left wing, Trippier's going to cut off that side of the pitch because he's naturally going to want to come inside. John Stones, is he really going to be robust enough to play every single game or the bulk of the games? I'm not too sure. And Mark Gahey, brilliant player, done excellent at Crystal Palace this season, but he's an international novice and you're throwing him right in at the deep end. And I would echo as well that Bellingham was brilliant the first day of half of the season. Second half, not quite as good. And Foden doesn't seem to be the player he was for England. So although I'm very, very worried with the talent the English have, I can quickly talk myself out of it when you think of some of the defensive problems that England have.
What about the rest of their group then, Mark? Denmark, Slovenia, Serbia. I read in the Racing Post this morning someone was making a case for Serbia to get out of that group. Who are England's biggest opponents?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be easy enough in the group. Just to quickly go to the midfield, there's big rumours that Trent Alexander-Arnold could be the one that actually partners Rice in midfield. In terms of the biggest rivals, I think I would say it's Denmark, and they're not the same side that reached the semi-finals 3 years ago. You've got Højlund up front, Eriksen in midfield, a few decent centre-halves. Kjær plays for Milan. Anderson at Crystal Palace would be another one that people would sort of recognise, but not a side I think that would overly concern England. They've definitely gone backwards in the last few years. They went out very early at the World Cup. Serbia, I think, always catch the eye because of their attacking players. You know, you've got Milinkovic-Savic, who's now in Saudi Arabia, but used to play for Lazio and scored a lot of goals from midfield. Dusan Tadic, still a creative force, and then up front you've got Vlahovic and Mitrovic. So there's a lot of goals in the team, but nobody ever mentions how bad they are defensively, and that the talent is all at one end of the pitch, and that would sort of concern me. I think you're better off kind of not having those star players and just having more balance to your team. And then in terms of Slovenia, they've got a recognisable goalkeeper in Oblak, and also up front the kind of new sort of hype machines in overdrive for Benjamin Sesko, who plays in Germany for Leipzig. Some people are calling him the new Erling Haaland. He's had a breakthrough season. So they've got a goalkeeper and a forward. They might surprise some people. I wouldn't be amazed personally if they got out of the group, but I wouldn't have thought that these three teams would cause England too many problems.
I'm really looking forward to Group A: Germany, Scotland, Hungary and Switzerland. Let's start with Germany, Alan. We know that they have brilliant individual footballers, their club scene is flying it, but they haven't been able to function as a team in quite some time. Do you think that this is a tournament where they'll be able to get everything to work in the right direction?
I think they have a couple of big things in their favour, obviously most notably being the host nation and the crowd behind them, which I think will be a big factor. Nagelsmann coming in as manager as well, obviously very, very good manager. They have a brilliant goalkeeper. I think the spine of the team is very good in terms of Rudiger, Schlotterbeck at centre half. I think they're outstanding, the two of them. I think they're as two of the best that you'll get around. We've obviously seen a lot of Schlotterbeck with Borussia Dortmund, and we all know Rudiger. Midfield and forward would be a little bit of a concern for me. Marie, obviously Toni Kroos is coming near the end, unbelievable player, really, really like him, as you know, but this is going to be his last tournament. Does he have the legs to carry himself through that tournament? Now, he's a very clever player, so he'll be able to just obviously let the others around him, if you like, do the running for him. Musiala, really exciting player, exciting talent, as is Florian Wirtz as well. We saw him in the Europa League final here. Didn't have a great game in the Europa League final, but he's a real talent. Sané as well. Pavlovic, another young player, but I think he's going to miss the game against Scotland, Pavlovic. But there's young legs and energy there, if you like, to complement Kroos and Gundogan. And then up front, that's another... I know we spoke, obviously, as Dortmund got to the final, and Fulkrug had a really good season and popped up, nearly scored in the final as well. Big, awkward, robust centre-forward, but I think he causes problems and he'll cause plenty of teams problems in the Euros. Havertz as well is coming off a great season, obviously, with Arsenal. And the question is, will he play through the middle, or will we see him more as an attacking midfielder, like maybe what we saw with Arsenal? They played him through the middle as a centre-forward a lot, but with Fulkrug there, I don't think he will. I think they'll go with Fulkrug. So they've plenty of talent, Marie. They have plenty of, as I say, advantages in terms of the home nation. I think the last 10 competitions or Euros, the home nation has got to at least the semi-final as well. So, as I said, that's a big advantage, and they have Nagelsmann. Can they win it? I don't know. There wouldn't be my fancy, to be honest with you, but I think, like Germans in all the tournaments, they're always there or thereabouts.
They most certainly are. There's only six groups, two teams to qualify, but obviously four third place teams will get out as well to get to the last 16. Could Scotland do enough in Group A to get themselves to the last 16?
Yeah, possibly, Ruby. From what I've seen, they can punch above their weight in qualifying. They were excellent. Look, the Swiss are a very decent team. Hungary are decent. We seen them live in the Aviva last week. They weren't as good as you'd expect them to be as they come into the Euros. But yeah, I think Scotland can throw a few punches. Look, it's going to be very difficult on Friday night against the Germans, being the host nation. But they can afford to lose that game and then really throw everything into the Switzerland and Hungary game. And yeah, I think they could have it. Look, I don't think it's dead in the water. There's certain groups you're looking there and you think, like, especially the Albania group with Croatia, Italy and Spain, you're thinking there's no way Albania are getting out of that. But I give Scotland half a chance. Yeah, I think they might be able to do
it. I actually think that's one of the hardest groups.
Yeah.
It's very competitive. When you look at the likes of Portugal and the group that they have, Belgium as well, an easier one, Slovakia, Romania, Ukraine. I think that one with Germany, Scotland, Hungary, Switzerland is really, really competitive.
Mark, mathematically, what kind of a number are you looking at getting now? Would 4 points get Scotland into the last 16?
4 points would almost certainly be enough. I never want to say definitely will, because you can never say never in football. 4 points would be the target. Usually, 3 points and a decent goal difference around about zero or maybe even minus one is I suppose par for qualification. So from sort of Scotland's point of view, if they can win and draw one of those games, and if we sort of write off the Germany game for now, then that would be enough. Otherwise, don't get thrashed by Germany, win one of them two games, and then, you know, don't get sort of heavily beaten in the other one, and it might be enough. I suppose the question mark for Scotland is, have they got the goal scorers to win any of those three games? That would be my doubt, I think.
Group B is looking like a group of death as well. Spain, Croatia, Italy and Albania, tough teams in there. Do Spain have enough to win the Euros, do you think, Mark?
I'm not sure. I mean, they won the Nations League, and I think there's certain aspects of their game that's really quite exciting. You look at Rodri holding the midfield. Pedri has come back from his injury. If he plays like he did at the last Euros, when he was just incredible and really had that breakthrough season, you've started to get some sort of bits there, haven't you, of what could be a winning team. You know, you've got sort of Williams on the wing, plays for Athletic Bilbao. I think somebody that's really exciting on both wings. They've got about three or four players you could choose from. We're going to say it's about so many teams, but is Morata going to win you a European Championship or World Cup? That I would say no.
I can't stand Morata.
That for me, yeah. So that's my that. I think if Spain win it, they'll almost certainly have to go for at least one penalty shootout, because in the last World Cup, you know, they dominated against Morocco, didn't score, and then went out on penalties. And at some stage, I just see them not scoring the goals. You can have a look around sort of the big teams, and Mbappe with France, Kane with England, you know, Ronaldo probably for Portugal. And you can go, yeah, I can see where they're going to score the goals. If you're asking for Morata to do it, I would have my doubts. I mean, he's only scored, is it about three or four goals this calendar year? So he's very hot and cold, and he's sort of cold too often for my liking.
Keith, Italy didn't go to the World Cup in 2022. They had a disappointing qualifying campaign. They were well behind the UK. You kind of always consider Italy to be one of those big teams, but are they?
Yeah, I think this is an Italy team in transition at the minute. They've got some outstanding talents, but in terms of a team, I still think they're a little bit all over the place. And a lot of people have said to me, they think this is England's best chance to go and win the Euros. And I always go back to when England played Italy in Wembley, and I was thinking that was England's best chance to go and win the Euros. And the Italy team that turned England over on the day, it's not the strongest Italy team, you know, we've seen in history. And again, there's some decent players in there. They can go and hurt you, but I do think they're very pedestrian at time. I think the recovery speed is not what it needs to be. And they're a nice, pretty team. I don't think anybody particularly fears playing this Italian team. I think they're just a little bit nice. They play nice football. They'll try and get in behind you. I'm a big fan of Jorginho since he's gone to Arsenal. His little angles he makes to keep the ball are brilliant. Chiesa on the wing, outstanding player. But I just don't fear them, and I don't think a lot of the elite teams in Europe do fear this Italian team anymore.
What about Croatia, Alan, when you look at what they've achieved over the last 6 years or so? They finished runners-up at the 2018 World Cup in Russia, third in Qatar 4 years later. They got the final of the Nations League, lost to Spain on penalties. Are they in with a chance?
Phenomenal achievements, Marie, especially a nation with obviously a similar population to ourselves. It's unbelievable, punching above their weight when you basically outline exactly what they've achieved in recent seasons. But they're just getting a bit old now, Marie, unfortunately, and I can't see them. I think even the odds for them to win this is 33-1, so that'll tell you a story in itself. The bookmaker is never too far wrong. In a really tough group, Spain obviously the favourites maybe to come out of that group. I would agree with a lot of what Keith said about Italy, very much in transition. It's a tough group, it's competitive, it'd be hard to call. Obviously Albania will be the whipping boys in that group, and it's tough to call then between the other three, but I can't see Croatia winning. It'd be great to see Modric at another major tournament, obviously phenomenal player as we know, still doing little bits with Real Madrid here and there, and I think he's going to stay on for another year. But in terms of them winning the tournament or maybe even achieving anything like what you said, getting to a semi-final or third, I can't see it this year, Marie.
Okay, we've looked at Group C. So Group D, France and the Netherlands, two strong soccer nations, Austria and Poland with Lewandowski and Zielinski. But it should be France and the Netherlands to get out of there, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I would have thought so. On paper, I'd definitely say France would be absolutely fine. But I was looking at the Netherlands last night against Iceland, and maybe I'm giving Iceland a bit too much credit for the way they played against England, but the Netherlands looked really, really good last night. Defensively, they're on a different planet with Van Dijk. Mickey van de Ven had to come off the bench. When you've got players like that, you know you're in a good place. And Memphis Depay always seems to turn up for the Dutch, and Gakpo and Weghorst as well coming on. And it's pretty similar to how I feel about Spain with Morata. I just look at Holland and I think defensively brilliant in the midfield, great players, they can keep the ball. I think Cuit Meinders is out, which will be a big blow to the Dutch. But I just think up the top of the pitch with Depay, Gakpo, Weghorst, Xavi Simons scored his first ever international goal yesterday. I just don't think they have the goals to go and win the tournament. I think they can get to the quarters, maybe even the semis, but in terms of being able to blow teams away or teams that are really well structured and, you know, are going to frustrate you, I think this Dutch team can be beaten, and it's just because of the strength up front. And again, fairly similar to Spain for me, just don't have enough firepower. And look, Austria I think will throw a couple of punches in that group. I don't think they'll get turned over too easy, but I expect the French and the Dutch to be okay. Austria to finish third, and Poland I believe without Lewandowski as well is going to be a massive uphill task for them.
We're ruling out teams here now like there's no tomorrow. We're getting through the wall.
I'm trying to figure out who's going to win it. Obviously Austria don't have David Alba either, so that's France started in Group D. Group B, Mark Langdon, Belgium, the Ukraine would have lots of spirit. Romania struggled to score goals. Slovakia, can't see them in it, but Belgium, surely they're getting too old.
I think they probably are. In certain part, we're ruling out another one here. I mean, Jan Vertonghen still plays centre-half. Courtois, unavailable. Real Madrid didn't want him to be risked after his injury. Look, they've got De Bruyne, they've got Lukaku, and then they've got quality on the wings in Trossard and Doku. So even in midfield, you've got Tielemans and Onana, who plays for Everton. So I think they have got sort of some aspects of quite an exciting team. It's just whether it all comes together, and I think defensively they're not going to be good enough to win the tournament. I mean, we sort of did gloss over France there. I mean, I think they are a genuine threat and could probably be the favourites with all the talent they've got. In terms of sort of dark horses, I think Ukraine are kind of going to become the official dark horses. You've got Lunin in goal that have played so well for Real Madrid this season. Dovbiak up front was the La Liga golden boot winner for Girona. A lot of quality in midfield as well. Zinchenko, much better, I think, in midfield than what he is when he plays as that sort of makeshift left back. They did reasonably well in qualifying, drew with Italy and drew with England. You mentioned kind of a lot of goodwill towards them. I think, you know, as a nation, that they're all pulling together, and, you know, that they're sort of that unity will be important. I think it is important at international tournaments. And I think that they've just got a good side. I mean, they're going to need sort of the real big guns to not turn up if they're to win it. But if you have a look at recent European Championships, it's a tournament that throws up surprises in terms of semi-finalists all over. You know, maybe not winning it, you have to go back to Greece for a big shock there, but there's been a lot of teams that have not been fancied that have reached the latter stages. It might be Ukraine's turn to sort of reach a quarterfinal or something like that.
Mark, in Group F, Portugal are much fancied in your preview. They're the team that you tipped.
Yeah, I mean, I think Portugal have got a very good chance. You know, just strength all over the pitch. Costa in goal, plays for Porto. You've got Dalot, who's had a great season for Man United. Cancelo at Barcelona. Ruben Dias, who plays for Man City. Palinha in midfield. I mean, how he's at Fulham, I don't know. He could play for sort of any of the big clubs. He's so good in that midfield. You've got Bernardo Silva and Bruno Fernandes. Diogo Jota, Cristiano Ronaldo, Rafael Leao. I think they've got a lot of what you need to win a major tournament. Two question marks, really. One is Roberto Martinez good enough as a coach? The second one, and probably more important, is Cristiano Ronaldo. Can he still deliver at 39? And if he can't, will he kind of accept not having such a big role, or will he, you know, do what he can do and sort of, you know, demand the ball, demand to play and cause problems for the team? Hope that doesn't happen, because I think talent-wise, they're right up there with anybody else at the Euros.
Two of my fancies actually come in Group E and Group F. On the Belgium one, Marie, I would actually fancy Lukaku as the top goal scorer, because he's a bit of a flat track bully. Mm-hmm. And I think in that group, they'll score goals, because the teams that they're up against, I don't think are any great shakes at all. So you could have a case where he could get two or three in the group, carry himself through to a quarter final, and four could win it, five could win it, and he's good value for that as well. But I would agree totally with Mark, Portugal are my fancy. The players that they have, the squad, I think, is absolutely frightening. I think Ronaldo will accept it at this stage. Like, surely he's grown up at this stage of 39.
We'll see him now in action later.
Yeah, I think he will accept it. But even if you look at the other forward players, João Felix, Rafael Leão, in my opinion, I've seen him two or three times live, Marie. I think this fella has all the attributes to be one of the best in the world, but just goes through the motions, he looks like, when he plays. But the talent is absolutely frightening that he has. Even if you look at Vitinha midfield as well, he was unbelievable for PSG in the Champions League this year. Whether he'll even get in, because you have Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, Palinha as the defensive one. Pedro Neto, who I think is an absolute star at Wolves as well. So I think Portugal have an unbelievable chance. Just depends on them defensively a little bit, maybe. Good goalkeeper, even backup goalkeepers, Rui Patricio, very good as well. So they would be my fancy, Portugal, to win the tournament.
Keith?
Yeah, I think Ronaldo has to start. I think when you look at the qualification goals he scored, he scored 10 Euro qualification goals. Fernandes is the next one with 6, and Cancelo with 3 behind him. So I think if you bench him, you're getting a knock on the door from a 39-year-old. And if you turn around you turn around and say you're not playing because your age, he's going to point to Pepe and say, well, he's 41, so don't play him either. So you're sort of backing yourself into a corner there. But look,
the only thing on that one, Keith, and I think Mark raised it and I would agree with him as well, Martinez is a major question mark for me. When he had the golden generation at Belgium, never delivered. I was always unsure of even Premier League level, and now he's after inheriting an unbelievable job and squad at Portugal. He would be the only question mark for me.
Yeah, I think this Portuguese team can be frustrated. I think if you sit in a low block and don't give them any space in behind, and you get in and rat about them and rattle them around, they can get annoyed, because I think that even they look at the players, the individuals they have on the pitch, and think we should be blowing teams away. And if you stick with them for a long time and frustrate them, they can lose their head and stick the bottom lip out a little bit.
Right, lads, next on the line, Mark Langdon, who will win it, and give us a dark one.
I'm going to go for Portugal to win it, and Ukraine are going to be my dark horse.
Alan, we know you're going for Portugal to win it, but give us one outsider there to...
I think the Netherlands might get a good run at it, and my outside one would be Lukaku, top goal scorer.
Lukaku, top goal scorer. That will be a shock. Keith Tracy?
To be honest with you, Ruby, I can't see past France, but I will say the Dutch or Germany as some sort of dark horses, because I don't see anybody beating France, but if somehow that does happen, if they have an unlucky day, maybe the Dutch or, God forbid, maybe even the English.
Ooh, you can't be saying that anymore. Anyway, guys, thanks a million for that brief and in-depth preview. We have a quick break to take, but we will be back with a look ahead to Ireland's game against Portugal tonight.